Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, the weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
Hi, I'm Boar.
Hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Nikki.
And I'm John.
And what the hell was that?
I forgot you were still you were here. I thought you were still gone, so... You know, I got so used to doing the intro that now I'm just doing the intro.
I was told you quit. And that you'd never come back.
I might have spread that rumor.
Well, the bitch is back. And I'm better than you.
Damn.
That's just, I mean, you're a very kind person. And thank you for you know, even, you know, though your ego was tripping, clearly.
Straight tripping, boo.
you were straight tripping. I was just quoting an Elton John song that nobody probably knows anymore because it's the 21st century. Everyone's forgotten everything that I hold dear.
It's not true
because we live in a media that recycles perpetually.
Anyway, Shady's back.
Shady is
back.
Backstreet is also back.
So in this episode, we're going to talk about a lot of video game news coming out of E3. We're going to talk about all the shit I was doing for the past month that you haven't heard from me.
Yeah.
And John, it's been a while since you've been on one of our regular shows where we talk about random stuff.
I get around. Not here, apparently.
Well, unless we call you spontaneously.
Which right. hasn't happened for a while.
It hasn't.
Is horrible every time.
Last time we tried, you didn't answer, and then we just edited it all out.
Are you eating ice cream? If so.
Nope. It wasn't the eating ice cream time.
No, you didn't answer.
Yeah, you just straight up didn't answer.
No, that time I did actually answer, but the other time, man, I don't even know what the hell. You guys crazy.
So, we're recording this episode earlier than normal, so E3's festivities have only just begun. That's where all of our video game related news is going to come from. And I'm going to talk about my experiences at MoogFest and the television event that is rocking my world, the return of Twin Peaks. It'll be spoiler free, I think. Yes, it'll be spoiler free. But first... What's everybody been up to while I've been away?
What, besides running Nerdy Show?
Yeah, besides that.
Shots fired. Well, I've been on Twitch still. I've finally set up my stream, and I have, I think, a whole six shows I've done.
Oh, I thought you were going to say six followers.
Six followers, woo! Yeah, and I have... just over 50, which is all that you need to become, well, I mean, like, one of the few things you need to be eligible to become an affiliate.
Right.
And you're, like, some sort of a weird secret character, because I tried to find you, and I couldn't find you. So hopefully we'll be able to figure that out and post a link on the channel.
Okay, so there's the Nerdy Show Twitch. This is your own independent Twitch, so where can people find you, Nikki?
It's going to be www.twitch, like the thing your eye does when you get stressed out. twitch.tv/cybernome. And I'm just going to spell this one out for you just in case. CYB, the number 3.
This is great podcasting.
RGNOME.
We should just make her a bit.ly link.
Could
and just
you guys
be like,
feel that
go to bit.ly
going right into
398 uppercase R Y.
We will link to Nikki's stream on this episode's page. Please subscribe.
/ So,
what kind of stuff do you stream? Video games?
Well, all right. So
watching people watching Bob Ross. What do you stream?
Yes, exactly. All
Whoa,
of those.
I need to get into that.
It's sick. It's so freaking awesome. The first couple times I was doing art related things, I was checking out some new supplies. So it didn't go like amazingly. I did not create any. Nothing good. Nothing great.
Okay. Anything. Well, I didn't make anything.
Let me back you up even further, because I, having known you for a little while now, didn't know that you did any kind of graphic art.
Oh, wow.
Aside from, I know you did photography.
Yeah.
What is it that you're doing?
So I mostly just sketch, but I do a lot of different things. I've done superheroes in the past.
Like time traveling?
Time traveling superheroes, yes. No, like I did Spider Girl, things like that. I've got some pictures here to show you. I can't show.
Yeah, aim right into the microphone with
you. You know, things.
Right on, right.
To that design, you know.
Ink drawings.
Yeah, ink drawings, pen sketches, things like that. I have not been able to do anything too well digitally, you know, like digital graphics, but I've been.
Personally, I hate illustrating on a tablet. It drives me batshit crazy.
I've tried doing it on my iPad.
Someday, maybe I'll, you know, make enough money to get a screen I can draw on. I think that would actually work for me. But my old fashioned skills of pen and ink and paper, they just don't flow well on the screen.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah. I'm still very, I am not anywhere close to your level of arting. Don't shh me. I've seen what you do. It's awesome.
Thank you.
But besides that, sometimes I get home from work and I am just too tired to do anything. But then I have Jackbox games and then Heroes of the Storm. And so I've streamed a couple of games a couple times. So
Jackbox, I've played it.
Okay.
It's fun. It's great.
Yeah.
But I'm still not used to people saying it. So every time people say it, I'm like, what?
What is this?
Like, whatever part of my brain is drawn to, like, sexual descriptions of things is immediately.
I mean, that's most of the game, too.
It is. Like, Quiplash. You know, whatever. Oh, yeah. There's tons of fun things you can do there. But, other than that, and for my stream, one of the people who got me into the whole creative side of things, that like where I discovered the creative Twitch.
Right. Yeah.
Glassman Cometh. He made me a glass gnome. So
sweet.
I'll be getting that in soon. And it has like moon stars and it has all my favorite colors in it. It's super sick looking. Stretched ears, though, because
it sounds a little bit more artistic than the glass pickle that you described last time.
Yes. I'm still a fan of his pickles, though. I'm not going to lie. Yep. Oh, I said it.
How about you, John?
Well, I mean, we went to the Moog, of course.
We did. But
other than that, you know, them Overwatch and all their events that they've been having have kept me pretty busy.
I didn't know you played Overwatch.
I play Overwatch, so does Kristen.
Who's your mains? Who's your mains?
Lord. I actually play the field.
Good players don't have mains.
I don't know that, quite frankly.
Oh.
I mean, I normally wind up being like Mercy or D.Va, but I also play a lot of random character, which, you know, if you can't play everybody, you just die horribly. You'll probably die horribly anyway, because you can't choose a character to fit the need.
Yeah, especially nowadays, it locks out the character. So if somebody picks your main, then if you have a main, you're kind of screwed.
See, I didn't know that.
In like every mode.
And I've never played Overwatch. I only watch other people play it, and I haven't done that in a while. So.
Yeah, so you better be good with about half a dozen characters. Otherwise, you're probably
like,
not
pretty
that
much
great.
At a minimum. Like, you probably need at least, 10 characters that you're good at, an absolute minimum.
Yeah. Okay, well,
and you had better be familiar with all of them.
It's like I didn't just leave Nerdy Show for a month. It's like I checked out of reality for a year.
and I mean, that's what I was doing, was dealing with their, hey, we've been around for a year, let's have a celebration.
Mm-hmm.
So literally,
have you been cursing at the random number generation with the boxes like I have for the last?
I have
contest?
Not had anywhere. I mean, I didn't get anything I wanted, but I didn't have the bad luck that my wife did. It was incredible. She got like 3 Soldier Boys of the legendary, and so of course, you know, half of those are like dupes, you know what I mean? Like, she kept getting the same legendaries over and over again.
Wow. I just keep getting like grays and blues, and it's like,
oh,
hey,
yeah.
Like I don't play Overwatch a ton, and I'm sort of like I'm at a level where it takes a long time for me to gain a level, so I unlock boxes really slowly. And yeah. So I buy boxes occasionally, and I spent like probably $20 on just random loot boxes this time around because I wanted a couple of the legendaries. And it was just like, here, have a bunch of sprays and emoticons and, you know, shit like that. And I'm just like, I just spent $20 on mostly garbage. And then the
actual American dollars.
And then they don't give you very many, like there's an in-game currency that if you get duplicates or something like that, they give you some coins so you can buy the thing that you want. And with all of that, I was able to get enough coins to like get like 1/16th of a thing that I wanted. But luckily I had enough saved up that I was able to buy one of the legendaries that I wanted. Otherwise I would have been totally screwed. I think I got like one of the legendaries I sort of wanted, kind of, you know, if I had like a wish list of 10 things, it would have been on there somewhere.
I am so glad I don't play games like this. This sounds awful.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's not as bad as when you deal with that stuff in like Mass Effect's multiplayer, because they have like a drop system, like basically like Magic, the Gathering. Like, you are straight up buying stuff you actually need, but you can't ever select it.
Yeah, that's the thing. With Overwatch, it's purely cosmetic, but those things only come around...
goddamn legendaries.
Right, they only come around, like, maybe once a year.
Maybe.
Or never again, possibly. Like, this anniversary event, will they ever bring those skins back for you to unlock them again? Who knows? So I had to spend some money to get, you know, a chance at something.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awful.
I should really probably stop. And just,
that's the whole point. Yeah. I mean, I'm just keep thinking to myself, like, why am I doing this? Why am I fucking playing this so much? Like, what the fuck?
What about you, Boar?
Oh, man. So, speaking of paying money for stuff that I probably shouldn't.
You have a pile of colorful packages where I can't...
I brought some interesting things to sample. First off, I wanna crack this open. This is the new Pepsi Fire.
Okay.
And it's a cinnamon flavored cola. I just want to tell the story of when I purchased this. I went into the store and, you know, I had this Pepsi Fire, and the people behind the counter were like, wow, we've never, like, is this any good? Have you tried this? And I was like, I have no idea. I've heard it's terrible. And they gave me this look like, why are you buying it then?
Well, science.
So anyway, I brought this in and I want to try it. And I think Nikki is going to take a little swig. Yeah.
I'm not
going to
take the insane caffeine plunge.
But what if we tell you that it's fucking delicious?
I mean, I deny myself fucking delicious things every day.
All right.
What if you just dip just the tip of your tongue in? Just the tip.
Now,
not every day you get an invite like that. But
the bouquet on this Pepsi Fire reminds me of a Pepsi that they put out a long time ago. Like, it was a Christmas Pepsi. And
yeah.
And it had like a bit of a spice to it.
What do they call that?
I thought it was just...
Holiday spice Pepsi?
Yeah, something like that. Really? The smell
like
of this reminds me of that. All right, let me try this. Wow.
Is that good?
Okay. Try it.
You just, first it was like a wow, and then I heard a come out. So I really
maybe you'll experience the same thing.
By the way, it was actually called Pepsi Holiday Spice. I'm shocked that I got that right.
That's a good remembering. It kind of tastes like if you took a Pepsi and you dropped...
Oh, Nikki made a face.
You dropped some of those Fireball candies into the Pepsi and left
that.
It.
You don't want that,
and you left the Fireball candies in there for a while.
Uh-huh.
It tastes like you would imagine that.
That sounds like exactly what I thought it would be.
Okay, so...
I'll just keep drinking, you know, Vim's Captain's Blend instead.
Yum, Captain's Blend.
It's maybe about as spicy, maybe a little bit more spicy than that... Mountain Dew Mango Heat that I tried a while back. But this tastes worse.
I swear I like tasted a barbecue happening in my mouth at one point, but like the really old wood for some reason that you're using, and it's kind of stale. Yeah.
Now,
we need to make hickory soda. Oh my God.
As an aside,
drinkable wood.
I will pick Pepsi every single time over Coke, and I will say that this still tastes better than Coke. That's how bad I think.
Like
Coke.
Plain Coke?
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus. I would...
Well, what else you got there?
But
you got a pile of shit.
I still think it's...
Right there.
I still think it's terrible. okay, so as a little bit of a backstory, there's this... Asian supermarket in town that every time I go there, I'm cursed to spend about $40 because I start going down the candy aisle and they've got a giant beverage section.
Oh, yeah.
And I just start loading up things that look interesting or potentially delicious. And I did that recently, and I brought just a sampling of some of my favorite things that I've found so far, or things that I thought were so weird that you needed to have them brought to your attention.
Like that Pepsi.
Let me just talk. The first thing that I found going through their extensive ramen aisle. I'm not usually that big of a fan of instant ramen. I'll try them occasionally, but I generally don't eat them on a regular basis. But I found this one ramen. I don't know if you've heard before about how most ramen noodles are fried, and that's inherently like bad because they have extra calories, and some of the oils that they use are not as good as probably they could use. But this type of ramen, I'm probably going to butcher the hell out of the name, Myojo Chukazanami. Something like that. I don't know. We're going to post a link to it in the Nerdy Show page. But this is the best freaking ramen I've ever had in my life. From instant ramen, uh-huh. I guess.
And so you said there's a link. Does that mean we can buy it on Amazon?
Yeah. I found this on Amazon. It's really good.
So you found it in the Asian market, and then you found it on Amazon?
Yes.
Okay.
They've got a few different flavors. I tried one called Oriental Flavor that was amazing. They have a soy sauce one and a... This one was really, really interesting. It doesn't have like a specific flavor listed. It just says like sesame flavored sauce with mustard. I haven't tried that one yet, but given how good the Oriental one was, I'm looking forward to it. So super amazing ramen that we'll link that you can get on Amazon, and I highly recommend trying it. Super good. But the interesting thing that I brought for you guys to try is I found... down in the snack aisle, I have absolutely no idea what these are called because it does not have any English on the package whatsoever. But
corn.
Is this going to be an episode of Kino? What?
I'm going to pass it around to you. The best I can describe what these are.
Sweet.
Is these are a... they're like crunchy Cheetos that are cream corn flavor. Or like a corn soup
Garmon
flavor.
Bozia.
All right.
That seems legit.
And I just wanted to see how you felt about these.
Oh, wow.
They're very firm.
Yep. They're
not
like
a Cheeto.
Like a crunchy firmer. Cheeto. Maybe a little bit crunchier.
They have a oily finish.
That's always a good description.
And they do taste an awful lot like one of the flavors we tried on Dungeons and Doritos a couple years ago at this point, corn pottage Doritos.
Yeah.
Distinctly different from the toasted corn Doritos that you can buy in the southwest of America, because it tastes like a sweet chowder in addition to being corn.
Okay, and I've got a couple more things, and I don't want to keep talking about food forever.
It's become a thing we do now, isn't it?
And
hey, Ryden, do you like when we do this? Because we're not sure.
Yeah, we're not sure. We just like eating things, so, you know. Okay, the next one, the next one will be a little bit of a treat,
okay, here's my verdict on those things. They're not great, but I would keep eating them.
if they were around,
yeah,
I would snack.
Oh, okay. They're like an oily, slightly savory, shit, what's that cereal? I was going to say Kit Kat, but that's a candy. Kix.
Yeah. Yes.
Except for okay. They taste more like creamed corn.
I can totally taste the Kix. Yeah. The Kix mixed with
and
Cheeto.
The pain and suffering. Really, the Garmon Bozia. Oh, perfect. Oh,
all right. God. The next one, these are a hard candy.
Okay.
And they're Oishi brand.
That's really their name?
Oishi. Yeah. It's
wow.
Oishi means delicious in Japanese.
Exactly. That's why John, I was like, what the fuck?
John, if you go out to your mailbox right now, you're going to see we have delivered some to you.
Christ, that is a long walk.
I wish we had that level of planning. But these are pineapple hard candy, and it tastes more like fresh pineapple than anything I've ever had in candy form.
And it's tart. Yeah, there's a decided tartness in it that's absent from American pineapple candies.
Yeah,
that sounds like some proper dashi right there.
Yeah, I dig this. This is great. If it was a lollipop, I'd suck it.
This
it's
is good.
It's kind of like a lollipop, like, except for it doesn't have a stick.
It doesn't have a convenient handle, so like this has to live in my mouth now unless I spit it out.
Yeah,
we didn't think ahead to that part.
No, we didn't.
But, so you're gonna hear clicking in my mouth unless I get rid of it. But it's good.
It's very good.
Yeah, I got a couple more. The next one, this one's a Ramune flavored candy.
Shut up.
Oh, wow.
What?
I'm super... Is it going to be fizzy candy? Is it like the soda
candy? It comes in a little Ramune style bottle, but without one of the, you know, the things that shoot the ball.
Oh, wow. It tastes really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that tastes like...
Oh, it's powdery.
Yeah. It tastes like a sweet tart, and then also... like you dehydrated like maybe an entire case of Ramune flavor into one pill.
Wow. Yeah, no, that was really delicious.
What yeah, they're that? Like a Ramune flavor pill.
What is the flavor of Ramune? It's like what the ocean looks like, but not what it tastes like.
Well, I can tell you that it has tapioca starch, sucrose esters of fatty acids, and artificial flavor. So
God damn it. If they all hit it, everything in the artificial flavor.
All right, so this is just one of the milk candies.
Yeah, this one is a Milkita vanilla shake candy. It's okay. It's kind of a soft chew, but it tastes exactly like a vanilla milkshake.
It's a hard soft chew, though. It's quite firm.
Yeah, it starts out kind of hard, but then it gets pretty soft.
It's rare you get the flavor warm.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a creamy chew.
Yeah.
It makes my spit squeak.
I noticed like my salivation has like tripled since it's been in there. So,
oh, it's a workout. If you get like fracture your jaw and you gotta do physical jaw therapy, I highly recommend the Milkitas.
So the original Ramune flavor is lemon lime.
Allegedly.
Is it really?
Yeah, now that I think about it, that entire anime I watched about Togashi was basically making a bunch of jokes about lemonade.
Hmm.
What do all those words you just said mean except for anime?
I understood anime.
What? There's like literally an entire anime about just dashi.
What's dashi?
Yeah.
It's like candy in Japan. Really? Candy in
Japan. This is not Wicked Anime. That's a separate program. We have all of our programs spaced out. Wicked Anime is a great program. I highly recommend
it. Internet.
I mean, I'm like a lower mid level weeaboo, and I don't know what you're talking about.
An upper lower middle level.
No, I'm a lower middle level. Like I'm above the lower level.
He's a 25th level lesser weeb.
Do you have a Crunchyroll subscription?
No.
Oh well, that's your problem. That's why you don't know these things.
He watches the free Crunchyroll.
Yeah, I actually do sometimes.
There you go.
All right, let's get into Moogfest. Moogfest is a incredible festival. It's extremely unique. There's nothing like it else on this planet. It's a music festival and also a science and technology conference, and actually kind of a bunch of other things rolled up into that. It takes place in Durham, North Carolina, and I've been many, many years where I've seen incredible stuff like Brian Eno gave this wonderful lecture. I've seen
who's that?
Brian Eno is one of the like most prolific important music producers of all time,
pretty much ever,
and also
never
like,
heard of him, probably not that important.
multimedia artist and general insanely smart person who's like guided a bunch of things. This is one of his lesser achievements by far, but he composed the Windows 95 startup sound.
Oh,
Shut up.
That is a pretty prestigious thing.
That's intense.
But he co-produced a bunch of stuff with David Bowie. Anyway, he's great. But there's all kinds of stuff that happens at Moogfest. I've seen some of my heroes, some of the people whose work I respect the most, people who've shaped my creative life and so on and so forth, have performed there, have spoken there. And on top of that, it's always geared towards new music, especially, and so I always discover new performers there that that I didn't know of before. I look at who Moogfest is like, you know, rolling out this year and discover something that I really like.
So I have Spotify, yeah, and you go to Moogfest.
Spotify ain't going to necessarily feed you what you need. Spotify is just a bunch of algorithms. It's not discerning people.
It's been algorithming me pretty well.
Huh.
Sounds like you're predictable, huh?
A little bit. Must be.
So during the day, there's lectures, conferences, durational performances, experimental stuff, and then during the night, music. Sometimes very unusual music. So
unfortunately.
It could be fun.
No.
It could be fun.
John, you didn't see any of it. You did not stay out late. You are a daytime person.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I kept ensconcing to the hotel room to play Breath of the Wild, but, you know.
Yeah, you've got priorities.
The one performance I saw wasn't supposed to be a performance per se. It was supposed to be a talk on the future of, like, hooking your brain up to synthesizers, and instead it was, like, garbage sound vomit.
Well, why don't you explain that experience, because you've harped on it twice now. Go for it.
Garbage sound vomit. The show.
The show. Great. Please elaborate.
Imagine a bunch of impossible weird sounds. None of it was musical. It was just, like, sound noise.
Like ambiance type music, but quote unquote.
What did you think you were getting?
Maybe.
What did you get? Please explain the experience.
Literally,
so understand
the talk
it.
Said that they were going to be discussing where this was going to be going and all this stuff about, you know, this first commercially available brain machine interface for synthesizers. That all sounded like totally John centric kinds of things. But instead, it was like, yeah, so it says that I'm supposed to talk about shit. I'm not going to. I'm just going to start, you know, hooking this thing up and just playing whatever. And then he proceeded to play whatever, which, like I said, was just nonsense.
So
just horrible
stuff.
He
was playing, quote-unquote, music with his mind, correct?
Music requires that there is some sort of structure to it. He did not achieve that low objective.
He was playing sounds with his mind.
Right.
That's sick. That's awesome. Dude.
Well, it's one of those things. Like, I can hook some freaking wires up to anybody's head and be like, okay, this is going to be a 1 and this is going to be a 0, and now I'm going to load that into my MIDI sequencer and have it play a random spectrum between the two, right? Like, but that doesn't mean that it's being used in any sort of a sane or rational way to actually produce quality of any sort. There was it was so bad. Oh my god.
But, I mean, that was only one thing that unfortunately disappeared.
I kind of wish that. I had heard it so I could back you up, John, because I feel
you
like I would probably be bitching
drugs,
right along
John.
With you.
I'm sure I would as well. I mean, that's but I mean they had folks from the Large Hadron Collider speaking there. They had a bunch of awesome Afrofuturists talking about.
Did you get to
sci-fi.
Talk to any of the people from CERN?
I did not seek them out. I could have, but I did not.
I mean, you should have, so you could have asked them about the hell gates that they keep trying to open up with that collider.
They talked about the hell gates, actually.
Did they?
They're like, man, people even think we're trying to like make black holes, hell gates. We've seen them all, you know?
Sweet.
Hey, can I get on a podium real quick? Have you guys heard of a really garbage conspiracy theory called the
Cloud People?
Mandela Effect?
Oh, yeah. Haven't we talked about that before?
I don't believe so, unless this is a part of the Mandela effect.
I think it might be, because I feel like we have talked about this.
It
maybe that was an alternate reality, though.
Yeah, you can't really be sure. It's a conspiracy theory called the Mandela effect. It's named after Nelson Mandela, because there are some people who believe that he died in prison, and then, of course, he didn't. He became, you know, the president of South Africa, and then... You know, in apartheid.
It's pretty much one person misremembers something, and then a bunch of other people confirm that they also misremember it.
Like,
which is a byproduct of literally how the fucking human brain works.
Yeah, it's basically
the end.
The human memory, forgetfulness, misremembering something, combined with the internet allowing people to confirm that things were different than how they remembered.
Well,
but I remember that, and other people remember
it's
it that way.
Bias, we the should, whole fucking thing. Like,
it's basically saying, hey, memification happened prior to the internet, but then, oh no, my memories are important. Clearly what I remember is correct. Oh my god, CERN opened up a black hole and merged two realities. Clearly that's the answer.
Oh, okay, that's where you're getting with
so
it.
What yeah. you're telling me is all the people who believe in flat earth have now come over to this other thing with some other...
There are people...
I don't think that's an example of it. The biggest examples of the Mandela effect are the Berenstein Bears.
Yeah.
Okay.
Versus the Berenstain Bears. Some people think that Berenstein Bears is the way that you spell Berenstein Bears. And other people... well, I mean, the actual way is Berenstain. Mm. The other big examples are Shazam. People mm-hmm. used to think that it was starring...
You mean Kazam?
Yes.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaq?
Well, no. Other people think that it was Shazam, and it was starring... John, help me out. You know this one, right?
No.
There is a Shazam.
But like, there's like Mirror Mirror on the Wall in Snow White is incorrect. It's actually Magic Mirror on the Wall, and people think that's... But basically, people believe at this point that that... CERN, when they isolated the Higgs boson particle, merged two parallel realities. They overlapped, and they have been seamlessly like integrated to one another. People have existed and disappeared. We don't remember that it happened. It just seamlessly merged. And
Sinbad, that's the name of the guy. People thought that Sinbad was in a movie that had a plot that was very similar to Kazam, but it never happened. And some people are like, no, I saw that movie, but... Yeah,
and this is why witness testimony is only worth so much.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, this really frustrates me. And what frustrates me more is that there's a young kid who's a theoretical physicist. He's, you know, he's a genius. He's an actual genius. But he has an internet video where he states that he firmly believes this, and the wow effect of a kid genius believing this bullshit is really frustrating to me. It makes me furious.
I haven't looked into that, but I'm still not convinced that he even exists. So
I mean, that's fair, and I haven't looked into it either. Just basically, I mean, I call bullshit on him immediately. I call bullshit on him, regardless of whether he exists or not.
I call bullshit on you. I call bullshit on your cow.
But back to Moogfest. wait, winding back to Moogfest. The folks who composed the score to Stranger Things were there, playing the score live. It was wonderful. I mean, granted, not a lot happening on stage, but you close your eyes and feel the decibels coming out of this, you know, far more elaborate and expensive sound system than you've ever listened to the Stranger Things score on. And yeah. You're like, I feel this. I'm there. Yeah. It's scary. I love it.
That's awesome. That sounds like a lot of fun.
I got to be in the same room as a Fairlight CMI, my favorite musical instrument, which was a very large computer. That
they had a Fairlight CMI there?
Yeah.
What
yeah,
the hell? Did. Is that? What is that?
It's a At first I thought we were communicating, and then I realized the CMI stands for computer music instrument.
It was basically like 40 years ahead of its time kind of thing.
It was the go-to thing for sampling sounds and creating music out of them, heavily used by Kate Bush, Peter Gabriel, Trevor Horn. It's a beautiful machine, and I never thought I'd get to see one in person. It was really cool. Played with a lot of synthesizers. They had this. They always have a pop-up shop set up where you can play with all of Moog's equipment, but this time it was really involved, interactive. They had a whole display of all the bass lines, the classic, unforgettable bass lines that have been created on Moog synthesizers, and then showed you the arrangement of how to turn the dials and where the component cables needed to be to create that sound yourself and see like kind of the complexities within the simplicity of the Moog analog synthesizers.
Did they have reggaeton there?
Probably somewhere.
Honestly, I don't know how you make reggaeton. I have no idea. It seems
well, if you have a patch cable in the right dial settings, you could probably make it easily.
Sure, I imagine could. You might need the other modular parts to make it work, but you know. How much money did I calculate out that machine you were dicking around with cost?
Oh, I was in front of like practically a Keith Emerson style like gigantic patch console,
and a proper modular synth.
I mean, it was like, was it like double digit thousands? Wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it might have been 40.
Man, yeah.
He just started like yanking cables, sticking them at random, playing around, and I'm like, oh my god, how much does this thing cost?
He's playing a telephone operator from the 20s.
I mean, that's what
pretty
it looks
much.
Like. John, you saw a talk from Zoltan.
Oh god, yeah. No, it took me a while, and then I was like, wait a minute, but that is the guy who was running for president, right? Like.
You guys know Zoltan, right? The transhumanist party's presidential candidate?
Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember.
Yeah, I mean, it's
that.
Hard to forget with a name like, you know, Zoltan, right?
Yeah, I mean,
but, I have heard of that. I can't picture him in my mind.
He looks like a normal white dude, but he sounds like a...
But, like, buff.
Is he buff?
Did he swallow a computer?
He looks like he could be very buff.
Could be buff.
The talk was called something like "How the Transhumanism Bus Changed the Field Forever" or something like that. And so I thought that that was like figurative, but it was actually literal. Like,
that's not the weird guy with the sensor sticking out of his head, is it?
No, that's Neil Harbison.
Oh.
Though he does have an RFID capsule embedded in his hand that he uses to unlock his door in his car.
So he's got the sign of the beast.
Yeah. Sure.
I used to actually want one of those when I was younger and those first came out. I'm like, how sick would that be just to have a chip in your hand and you could just like open things with it? That'd be your identification. Now, that's like the most horrifying thing in the world to me. I'm like, nope. Don't want that.
Well, you'd still have to find and, you know, procure all that equipment and set it all up anyway. I mean, you know, like, you can't just go out
but
and, like,
well,
until the government's doing it for you.
That's why I only have NFC embedded in my spine. You have to be really close to scan it.
Yeah.
So nobody's coming near my spine without my authorization. So that way, like, therefore, right, it's safe.
Right above.
It isn't safe, though, because you can just basically, it's like lighthouses. If you use focusers, you can actually do it at a huge distance.
No, don't go telling me that after I got it embedded into my spine already.
See, you should get it done like right in, at the end of your tailbone, like right above the butthole.
Were you there? How did you know where my secret NFC spot was?
I just thought that would be the smartest place you could put it.
John, why don't you tell everybody about the coffin bus?
Well, that's the whole point, though. So, like, I misunderstood what the talk was about. It was actually about a literal coffin bus that they, like, I guess, kickstarted and actually drove across the country to deliver a transhumanist bill of rights to the Capitol, which, of course, didn't go over with the guards there very well.
Did the bus look like a coffin?
A gigantic
coffin?
Yeah,
they literally
coffins?
Modded out, like, a 1970s, like, RV to make it look like a coffin.
Okay.
And, I mean, in many ways, it was a coffin because it kept breaking down. So, I mean, shit, you know?
Huh.
But yeah, no, and so, you know, after his crazy long talk about road trips and all the insanity that happened as a result of that, you know, it was like a freaking free-for-all question thing, like, you know, oh, well, how the hell, you know, what are we going to deal with, like, the automation coming through, like, how is that going to affect people? Okay, so you should just be able to, like, cut off your arm and replace it with a better arm, cut out your heart, replace it with a better heart, why wouldn't you? It's better, you know, like, shit got real.
I mean, if you want to and you got the money, sure, but yeah, I wouldn't expect your insurance to cover cutting out your heart and putting a better heart in if you didn't need
kind of the rub.
A better heart.
Yeah,
but
I've seen
basically
enough movies
straight
like
up
that.
Deus Ex.
Hannibal Buress was a surprise inclusion of the show. He appeared on the first day out of nowhere and then would randomly show up doing things throughout the event. He soldered his own synthesizer together in a class. He led a discussion with Animal Collective and the 1970s Canadian prog rock band Syrinx.
Who is Hannibal Buress?
Hannibal Buress, the co-host of the Eric Andre Show, who's way bigger than Eric Andre is. He's the guy who broke the Bill Cosby is a rapist thing. His stand-up was like, hey, you know, everybody knows this, but no one talks about it. We all accept that Bill Cosby's a rapist. Why isn't anybody doing anything about it? And it was just, he was just musing, you know, live on a stage, and it turned into the whirlwind of Bill Cosby being outed as a rapist.
No. Let's just pretend that I ask some of these questions for the listeners.
Well, I think they have a clear idea of at least a small part of who he is.
Hannibal's a great comedian. He's a pretty big deal. He's got a bunch of specials. You check him out.
He was asking some pretty hard-hitting questions, too.
Oh, yeah. He was...
Have you ever fucked to your own music? To which I don't think any of them had.
Yeah, they said they'd never done it. And he was like, not even on release tracks?
I mean, you know, if the sex wasn't good, then you'd be like, hey, I made this.
What about some stems?
I made this for you.
He basically diverted the conversation. So they were talking about parrots for 15 minutes, and it was great.
Okay.
Talk about how a parrot was used to, like, help solve a murder. Parrot witnessed a murder.
And about how a parrot kept biting a guy, and man,
about,
and
about
it was
how Jimmy Buffett is an asshole because the guy was at a worked at a parrot rental store, and it was good. It was weird stuff happens at Moogfest.
Wow,
this parrot is dead.
So here's the thing that happened to me that I kind of couldn't believe. So I presented in an interview there last year. I interviewed Gary Newman. We had that on a prior episode of Nerdy Show, the audio for that. This year, I interviewed the rapper Mickey Blanco. He's really cool. He's this really punk rock, gender non-conforming, multimedia artist. and up in the balcony, I see this dude with a beard, and I'm like, shit, that guy looks an awful lot like Michael Stipe, the lead singer of REM. And he was there doing a talk, which I had to miss because I was getting ready for this presentation, and it was him.
Oh, snap.
And then the next day, we were both watching Flying Lotus perform, and he singled me out and, you know, told me what a great job I did, which is, I mean, like...
Oh, wow.
Congratulations. Right? I mean, yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, you know, I've talked to a lot of famous people, but seldom do they, like, you know, witness something that I'm doing and then come up to me and tell me that.
Right.
So, I mean, it's cool, and it was just... very gratifying and
weird.
Did
you tell him to listen to your podcast?
I did not tell him that.
Oh, what the hell?
I did say his name too much, probably. I was taken by surprise, and I usually don't, but I got authentically jittery.
Yeah.
Of like,
like a little starstruck, just ever so slightly.
It's just, well, you know, yeah. Because
we could have interviewed a lot of crazy random people, too. So, like,
yeah.
Well, the thing is, I talked to Phil Collins. Phil Collins doesn't come up to me. He's like, hey, man, I saw something you did, and I really appreciated it. And I was like, shit. Phil Collins appreciates something I did?
Yeah.
I mean, Phil Collins would be like, that was a great interview, mate. And I'd be like, yeah, Phil, it was a great interview. Thank you very much for putting up with me talking incessantly about that one time you were on Miami Vice. But this is different. It was different this time.
Different.
It was different. And it was great.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to MoogFest next year. Let's move on to something else, something people probably care about.
Well.
Video games? Anthem is the new property from BioWare.
BioWare.
Makers of Mass Effect.
Yes.
Distributed by E3. EA.
Yeah.
And those other games.
Announced it at E3.
Yes.
Damn it, I did it too.
They gave the rights for Andromeda over to Montreal, I think, is who worked on it.
That sounds right.
The BioWare Montreal studio, yeah.
Yeah.
Worked on Mass Effect Andromeda, yes.
So,
and some of the DLC for Mass Effect 3, if I recall.
I think you're right on that also.
Apparently there was a lot of time spent working on this new game. Now they've stopped work completely on Mass Effect to make this other game even bigger.
Right. Well, yeah, they've basically said, okay, Mass Effect Andromeda was a PR disaster. Mm-hmm. Let's not talk about that anymore.
Right.
Let's not develop that, do anything, have a sequel. Mass Effect is dead for a while. Anthem looks, visually speaking,
beautiful.
Incredible. Never seen anything
like
it.
Assuming that it comes out with that level of graphics.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah. And that was actual gameplay, though. Like, that's what I was really impressed about, was most of it.
Gameplay that they may dumb down at a later date.
Well, with Andromeda, there was, like, a leaked video, and it looked fantastic, and it was, like, 2 years before the game came out. They did a side-by-side, and it was like, whoa, what? They, like, just rolled it back that far? Like, what the hell happened? So... a little bit concerned that it won't wind up looking the same if they have the same kind of problems.
Maybe this one was built in the Frostbite engine from the beginning and well, not at the last
and
minute.
I mean, that's sort of the question, though. Like, are they going to have weird Frostbite problems, or are they going to get frostbitten?
Mm-mm.
Well, Frostbite... Well, okay, that's a fair question. I was going to say Frostbite was made for first-person games, which this is sometimes, but all the action appears to be third-person. So who knows?
Well, yeah, at least from the trailer.
Like, oh, we had to build all these RPG elements on top of it and all this other stuff, and so it was just them constantly trying to clean up like an engine that's not capable of handling a huge gamut of gameplay possibilities.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, what it is, if you haven't picked up on it, is that it is very much like Destiny. It's a cooperative sci-fi game, and in fact, looking at the aesthetics of it, I was kind of like, why isn't this a Mass Effect game? Why isn't this just a Mass Effect?
I mean, I'm just like, yeah, fucking go get them, you know? Like.
There are similar-looking creatures. I mean, there's...
Well, and it was basically, like, one of the main Mass Effect guys, right, that, like, went off and did this, and I think he left after 2 years of work, but then they continued the project.
I have a lot of doubts that it's going to come out and it's going to be as awesome as the trailer looked.
Yeah, well,
and graphically and playability wise,
it does look really good.
The promise that trailer represents is
really
statistically
high.
Unlikely that with their track record they could conceivably deliver on.
Yeah,
what I am happy about with all this stuff though is I'm guessing it's using the new better hardware from the consoles.
So yeah, I mean, Anthem's a tough one, and certainly, absolutely, everyone who sees it is like, "Wow, looks good," but. Feeling that burn from Mass Effect Andromeda.
One of the funniest things I thought about the trailer was how canned their conversation was.
Oh, and you know that's
they
what
were trying...
I thought that those were supposed to be players or like characters talking. Yes, it's like, oh,
that's
wait,
exactly
is that
what
actually,
I said.
Like the players, and they're just like, oh yeah, man, cool. Look at this gun I got. And I was like, is this actually the dialogue? Like,
yeah. No, I thought it was like scripted
it was.
Too.
It
like
took me
in
so
the game
long to realize that they were supposed to be playing the game
and not just
like
bad actors.
Chat.
Yeah,
just not like horrible.
They
actors.
Should not have used voice actors.
Well, no, I mean this is just another way you can compare it to Destiny, because Destiny's gameplay debut at E3 was also a god awfully scripted canned.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Gameplay, participatory multiplayer gameplay experience. It was just as bad as this, actually quite worse. But
the Apple event when they were showing the VR stuff was equally like just they should have a medal for how bad it was. Like, oh no, Darth Vader, he's coming right at me. Oh, and they like freeze it like he's just striking right at her face. As like, oh yes, this was completely unscripted. Like,
what a surprise.
I don't know why the hell they do that. It's bad every single time.
Yeah, just be honest with people, you fuckers. Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be fantastic. As long as nobody drops them F-bombs, like everything will be fine.
Let's take a moment to thank the awesome people who make Nerdy Show possible, and then we'll get back to gaming talk. We're entirely listener supported. You can support us on Patreon, where you can subscribe and get all kinds of bonus perks. You can rate and review us on a number of platforms, as we'll talk about momentarily. And you can shop on Amazon. Like, you can buy those ramen noodles via our links on this episode's page.
And you should, because wow.
Or go to nerdyshow.com/Amazon, follow our links there, and anything you buy through those portals will give back to Nerdy Show. But we got to give some shout-outs to some very specific individuals. For example, a brand new patron. Welcome, Chris Nance, to the party. And I have a shout out from one of our $10 donors. That's at that level. You get access to the exclusive Facebook group where we hang out with the fans, Nerdy Show Lounge. And also, once a month, we'll say whatever you want us to say. Cold Fire Surge says the following. I would like to give a shout out to the Fandible Real Play podcast. I found them by searching for Real Play on the Atomic Robo RPG and love them enough to catch up on all the games they play. The Fandible crew recently hit 1 year of their Numenaria Longshot campaign and deserve some extra love for going so strong. So thanks so much, Cold Fire Surge. And you too could get this shout out. In fact, very few of our $10 and up folks take advantage of this. So if you want to, well, that door is always open. Now, we often tell you to rate and review us on iTunes, and that's still good advice. iTunes is still the number one platform for podcast acquisition, but iTunes is a deeply flawed system. For example, to sign up, you have to give them your credit card information, even if you're not going to buy anything there. It's not awesome for podcast discovery. You can search Nerdy Show, and you can find all of our shows, but if you were someone who is looking for something of a certain flavor, if you wanted to discover a podcast that, say, didn't have a big celebrity involved or just wanted a good recommendation, you wouldn't necessarily get it. So we're thrilled to say there's a new system in town, and they're in beta right now. They're called Podchaser, and they are built as a podcast discovery platform. That is a site where you can rate and review podcasts, and it's easy to do and doesn't require a complicated login. You can tag podcasts so that people can discover things based on categories. For example, audio dramas, one of the biggest fields in podcasting, which iTunes does not have a genre category for at all. Podchaser is in beta right now, and it just so happens we have some beta keys for you. Those beta keys are Nerdy Show,
or just nerdy. If one doesn't work, try the other. And we have a page set up, nerdyshow.com/podchaser, that explains the entire process, how the site works, and it's in beta right now, like I said, so there's lots of bugs. They're going to be adding features. It's going to be continually updating, and as it updates, I will expand that document to give more helpful hints on how to use it, because this startup, their pedigree is great, the people working on it are amazing, but there's no guarantee that they'll succeed. And we want them to succeed very badly because the podcasting world needs something like Podchaser. We have a page, for example, Nerdy Show's Greatest Hits. It's a page on nerdyshow.com that we've attempted to curate. It's kind of gathering dust right now. We wanted to put our best stuff there. But in this case, it's not just about rating and reviewing series. You can rate and review individual episodes. So Podchaser could become our greatest hits page based on what you think, based on what you think are the best episodes. And that's awesome. Like, I want that. All the features that they have that they are working on, we've been in close contact with them, and everything sounds super exciting. But it will only work if they gain a healthy user base, and that's where you folks come in. So if you want to get an early start on using Podchaser, use the beta keys that we have. That's Nerdy Show and Nerdy, and go to nerdyshow.com/podchaser for links to all of our shows, to where you can rate and review them. Am I missing anything? Anything else we should say about Podchaser?
I think you covered most of it.
Yeah, I've been following this development very closely. The podcast world needs something like this badly, where it's a very young genre. Nothing's really working too well. It's very fractured, and this could help greatly unite it, especially for shows like, well, networks even, like Nerdy Show. You know, we don't have celebrities really on our series. We don't have major backing, and that usually is the only way you get an audience. Generating from word of mouth, it doesn't really work too well. Granted, you're more than welcome to try. Telling a friend is the best way to engage somebody. If you really hound your friends, like, no, seriously, you got to check out Nerdy Show. You got to check out State of the Empire. You got to check out Liberty, Orphans, whatever. Do continue to tell people, but do continue to rate and review on iTunes. It's a bitter pill that we will continue to ask you to take because it's still the number one source for that. But if you want something better, check out Podcaster. Tell other people to check out Podchaser. Podcaster, check out Podchaser. And if you love other podcast networks, tell them about Podchaser,
because it should be noted that right now it's only for desktop. It's not,
yes,
they don't have a working great version of the mobile thing, and they don't have an app. Like, yeah, their mobile website isn't that great yet.
No, it's pretty bad.
And
but they're working on it.
They don't have an app, but they are working on both of those things. But right now it's just for your desktop, so don't be disappointed if you pull up your phone and try to load it up and so it's not working out.
There
great.
Is a little
wait
sign
till
at
you
the top
get home.
That says, hey, we're not optimized for mobile, so keep that in mind.
Yeah, just wait.
They warned
wait
you.
Wait a little bit if that's how you want to use it. But yeah. If you are using your desktop at work or at home or something, check out Podchaser.
Now, speaking of, some kind people have already gone on there and made sure that Nerdy Show's shows have been climbing the top lists, which is very cool. So please help with that. So I wanted to include some reviews from the awesome people who've already joined us on Podchaser, and Boar, Nikki, and John, you guys all have reviews in front of you. So let's start with Nikki.
Well, I have Cyanide. All the news nerdy and techie can be found here with often humorous tones. The hosts are great, and each episode is wrapped up with a song that will expand your horizons of artists. A must listen.
Thanks, Cyanide, who's a fan of both Lethal Chemicals and also Scion Cars.
Unless I'm hosting, yes. And then sometimes it's not wrapped up with the song, but sometimes it is.
You can never tell.
And I've got one from a user named Fizz. And Fizz writes, I don't usually have the time to know all the topics being discussed in every episode, but on my commute, the Nerdy Show crew catches me up on the nerdy world at large and introduces me to comics, movies, and content I hadn't considered before. Thank you, Fizz.
Garrier says, a fun dive into nerddom. They cover pretty much any nerdy topic you could desire. Sure, they cover the standards of comics, video games, science, and movies, but they also cover stuff like wrestling, giant robots, music, and weird internet cooks. They approach nerddom from a place of love and inclusion, not gatekeeping.
I like that last bit quite a bit. Thank you so much, Garrier. I like to think that's what we carry with us the most. Just being cool, sharing the stuff we love with other people, because we want to spread that around. So I guess we'll get back to E3. Now, did everybody see the trailer for the new Mario game coming out October 28th, Mario Odyssey?
Yes, and it was so, so weird.
I don't even understand what the game is. I mean, I get it, but wow, there's a lot.
Yeah. All right. So
I felt what she just said.
As did I. I don't even.
This is, without question, the weirdest Mario game that has ever been made. And that's a hell of a statement right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is Mario going on what appears to be a space and time odyssey across multiple universes, not other continents beyond the Mushroom Kingdom, what appears to be other worlds. Including a city with people who are shaped in normal proportions and not cartoon proportions. It's like Sonic Adventure or something up in this.
Right, and they showed us this before. Like, the previous footage that we had of it had Mario in all these weird different settings, but in this trailer it was a lot different because they introduced some sort of a mechanic that seems to be pretty integral to the game, where there's this hat that seems to be alive with a ghost in it. And for some reason, when you throw the hat onto either an animal or a person or a thing, you become that animal, person, or a thing.
Mario
possesses it somehow. Like,
yeah.
But also,
Luigi needs to get over there and fucking take care of business because of his ghost problem.
Yeah.
Luigi, when it comes to three-dimensional adventures, he typically is like, oh no, I must stay at my mansion. That's okay, Mario. I mean, he sat out Mario 64. He sat out Mario Sunshine, and this is a spiritual successor to both of those. So naturally, Luigi's nowhere to be seen. Yeah.
The thing I didn't understand about the weird hat possession thing, though, is that Mario is in this as himself with the hat on, and then he'll take the hat off, throw it on something, and then he becomes that thing. But what happens to Mario's body? It just sort of disappears.
Well, there's one shot
but
in the trailer.
But not until after the hat goes on.
The hat goes onto him, and then Mario spaghettifies in an interesting way so that his physical form and consciousness are transposed into the thing, which is actually somehow ties into Twin Peaks Season 3, as a matter of fact. But I'll get into that later.
Okay.
There's a magic Mario hat in it?
No, there's spaghettification.
spaghettification. I like that.
Okay.
But it's the gameplay prospects are fascinating because, like, Mario can throw himself into a electrical wire and turn into electricity and travel down a wire.
And then, like, he turned into a tank and a dinosaur and a regular person.
I do think it's weird that inanimate objects, I mean, I guess it's a vehicle.
And he turned into a taxi.
Yeah. And
a bullet bill.
Morty, turn yourself into a car.
I just don't understand their logic. There is no logic behind it, but I'm trying to do the logic. It's weird.
And that's just the environment they've shown us the most. There's also a weird Viva Pinata kind of Mexican looking zone. Mm-hmm. And
there's a dinosaur
land.
With realistically, relatively realistic dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Now, the city's called New Donk City. And
donk.
And here's what I love. It's lorded over by Mayor Pauline. And Mario fans will know Pauline is the name of the woman who Mario saved from Donkey Kong, or Cranky Kong, as it were,
okay,
back in the day.
What?
So this is the city where Donkey Kong took place.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a street like named after Cranky Kong.
But there's also like the Mushroom Kingdom seems to be there because he possessed like a totem pole of Goombas at one point. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And then there was like some weird.
Well, Bowser's there. Bowser's once again.
Bowser's trying to get hitched
in a white suit.
He's done that before.
Well, getting married. It was so weird.
He joined the Bee Gees.
But it's a strange game, and I can't wait to play it. But I will say, I mean, it, especially with the art style kind of changing, with it being so like just not Mario, like off brand, like Mario visually has a brand, has a synergy to it, and this is like deliberately saying like, nah, fuck that, every place is different, everything is weird, nothing is what you remember, nothing is what you expect.
Well, I mean, that's, to be fair, that's all there, like the Mushroom Kingdom stuff is there and it looks like Mario when he's in those worlds, but then all of a sudden he decides, ah, it's Grand Theft Auto time.
It's a Grand Theft Auto
Mario time.
Maybe it's,
I'm going to possess this taxi.
Yeah, maybe it's Mario in virtual reality.
So can he pick up hookers? I mean, if he's going to Grand Theft Auto, I mean, it's pretty much mandatory. It's like a core game mechanic.
Hey, you pick up the hooker, and then after she does you a tremendous service for a reasonable pay,
you possess her.
You get back in the car, and you drive back over, and you take the money back. It's the same morbid experience that countless people have had for years. Maybe, probably not. And of course, it's very Japanese, because all the people in New Donk City look like very, very
middle-aged businessmen.
Yeah, well, and businesswomen in little round hats and skirts. There's no colorful urban life, just very business life. But you got to pick up jazz musicians. Pauline wants you to pick up jazz musicians to help her put on a concert or something.
Oh. My daughter doesn't talk to me anymore, and Cresta keeps getting destroyed by this nut job.
You got way deeper into Donk than I did by watching that trailer.
No, I watched a gameplay demo.
Oh, okay. I was like, how do you know so much about this Donk?
I just love Donk. Anyway, Mario Odyssey looks crazy as hell, and I'm very excited for it. But you know what I'm more excited for?
Hmm.
Hopefully some great Metroid. Metroid Prime 4 was announced.
Okay.
No pictures, just a logo. They just say...
Yeah, I was going to say you're pretty excited Metroid. About basically nothing.
Basically nothing. We don't know if Retro Studios is working on it. We don't know anything about it. But there's a little bit of Metroid to tide me over. This year, September 15th, Metroid Samus Returns for the 3DS, a full remake of Metroid 2, The Return of Samus for the Game Boy, one of the a quality game, but one of the least played games, including by myself, because, you know, not many people were looking for that kind of experience on the Game Boy, especially at the time when it came out, when it was still one color and very small. It's a great story. It's about Samus going to a planet, hunting down the Metroids, following the events of Metroid 1, like perfectly continuing it, and then having an Aliens 3 style, the Metroids inhabit other creatures on this alien planet and mutate into Metroidified versions of those creatures.
I really cannot wait to play that on the 3DS. That actually sounds really cool.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that. And that's coming really fucking soon. I can't believe September 15th.
Oh, that's when it comes out. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so that's great. So after Moogfest, I flew up to Chicago, where the Consequence of Sound offices are, and we had a bit of a Twin Peaks party. We had two downright exquisite cherry pies. I drank coffee with caffeine in it for the first time in a long time, which was dangerous, but fortunately I was in a safe space.
And you're more daring than I am.
I know.
He was with loved ones.
We had some Jerry Horn style baguettes with butter and cheese on them, and watched the first four episodes of Twin Peaks: The Return. And this is, if you're not familiar with Twin Peaks, where to begin? It's, you're either going to like it or you're going to hate it. And it's a show written and directed by David Lynch, co-created with Mark Frost, a legendary piece of strange nerdy artwork. It was abruptly and unceremoniously canceled. There was some drama. There was a film that was a prequel but not a prequel, and now we have this. 25 years later, the events pick up as they were, and there's been a lot of revivals lately, and they've been largely catastrophic disappointments. I'm looking at you, X-Files. I'm looking at you, Chris Carter. What the fuck is wrong with you, man? But this Twin Peaks return is phenomenal. This is one season and it's going to be done. There was a book, The Secret History of Twin Peaks, that came out beforehand, which was incredible. Has a lot of nuanced seeds as to where things are going right now. I feel a bit enlightened at seeing the weirdness happening and having like a little bit of an extra clue as to what might be going on.
Okay.
But it's pitch perfect revival in that it's totally different from what happened before. It's unique in its style, but it is... It latches on to the darkness, the weirdness, the humor of the original series and presents it in a completely new way that's fresh while also calling back to everything. Almost all the original surviving cast are back, including a lot of people who we unfortunately lost just following the end of the series. The woman who plays Margaret Lanterman, the Log Lady, she died, but she's in it. Miguel Ferrero is in it. And man, there's not much I can say about it without spoiling it, but this is the performance of Kyle MacLachlan's career. Episodes 1 and 2 are dark and intense. Episodes 3 and 4 are comedy gold that I, like, already quote. It's extremely quotable.
Okay.
It doesn't take place in Twin Peaks much. It takes place all over the United States because all the stuff that happened 25 years ago has spread out and infected the world, kind of. So you're seeing all these different perspectives and all this crazy stuff happening.
Yeah. I've seen a little bit of it, and so I know a couple people who come back. Kyle MacLachlan's character looked hilarious to me. So the fact that you're saying the first two episodes are, like, pretty intense.
They're horrifying.
Really? Because, like, looking at him, like, I was cracking up at the first sight of, like, seeing him. Personally,
I want to say stuff, but I don't know how much I can get away with it. I would love to tell people what this is.
I know. Oh, okay. That's why I'm just like, meh.
I'll just say that when you are stuck inside of another dimension for 25 years and you are returned to Earth under strange circumstances that involve spaghettification coming out of a power outlet, you don't come back right. And it takes a while for you to put yourself back together.
Yeah.
And as a result, some very funny things are going to fucking happen to you.
Yeah. But I think it is interesting how before everything was so condensed to Twin Peaks, which, I mean, I like. That's the main reason why I like the show. It's almost like a Eureka kind of thing where it's like the town.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I do
think it kind of sounded to me like you were describing Gravity Falls.
Well, I mean, Gravity Falls is Twin Peaks for kids, so.
Gotcha.
Never thought of that. But yeah, now it's like you said, it's gone out of Twin Peaks. It is almost spreading, I guess, is the only way I can really say it. Weird things are happening than just in Twin Peaks.
So It sounds like Bill never got out and Weirdmageddon didn't happen. Is that what?
Yeah, Weirdmageddon never happened.
Okay.
But it's happening now.
Okay.
Okay.
So Dipper and Mabel are all grown up. They've gone their separate ways, but they're coming back together. And what we're seeing
is Uncle Stan dead or alive?
He's dead, but it's not what you think.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I guess it never is, really. What about the pig?
Well, conveniently, still played by Neil deGrasse Tyson, actually.
Strangely, I understand all of this.
now you do, but when we go back to talking about Twin Peaks, you're going to be like, tuned out.
Yep.
Well, so...
Because I'm a kid.
All the stuff that happens with the original characters is amazing. It's showing you a bunch of fragmented storylines that are gradually converging. And it's very exciting to see how they come together. There's characters who have been mentioned and off screen and elements that were mentioned and off screen in various things that are gradually getting explained or revealed. There was a recent one that I won't say anything, but it's a big deal. It's a really big deal. It's a character you've been wondering about for a long time. Okay. David Duchovny's reprisal as his character from Twin Peaks is wonderful. Michael Cera's brand new character to the show. Let me talk about
Michael. I did not even know Michael Cera was going to be in this thing.
Michael Cera, I'm going to tell you everything about this because this is okay. This is okay to say. Michael Cera plays the child of Andy and Lucy from the Twin Peaks Police Department. Lucy, the absent-minded front desk lady, and Andy, the kind of equally absent-minded and overly emotional police deputy. You can imagine their offspring must be a little peculiar.
Yeah.
And oh, he is. He was born the same day as Marlon Brando, you see. So as a result, he's styled his life after Marlon Brando. And I'll be goddamned if he doesn't roll up in that exact outfit from what's that Marlon Brando motorcycle movie where he's got that cap like tilted to the side. And anyway, Michael Cera's character is extremely peculiar. And it's a scene that you will either love or hate, but it's a scene, let me tell you, and it's powerful funny, I think. Okay. If you haven't heard about this, time to pre-order via our Amazon links, because after the season concludes, there's another book coming out, Twin Peaks, The Final Dossier, and it's going to wrap up any remaining plot threads for things that say, maybe parts, I assume it's going to be plots that were seeded during the original Twin Peaks that won't have the opportunity to be resolved, maybe due to actors dying or other things, but it'll probably, you know, all the core stuff's going to get taken care of in the show, and then this is the et cetera, and I'm very excited for that, because this first book, it was incredible. It's like, I actually couldn't tell what was true or wasn't, because so much of it was based on actual facts that happened. Like, did you know that one of the people who founded the Jet Propulsion Laboratory was kicked out for being too weird and having New Age beliefs, and then eventually exploded after he became a explosives expert for Hollywood? That's true, but it's in the Twin Peaks book, melded with fiction, and I was like, is this real? I don't know.
Wow.
So, all my discussions pertaining to when I how I've been gone this past month, those are wrapped. Let's get back to video games. There's a game that was debuted, I think, at the Xbox conference, which actually I should have known about already. It was kickstarted, but now I guess they've gotten that a little bit extra funding, shall we say.
Yeah.
It's called The Artful Escape of
Francis Vendetti.
Francis Vendetti. This game, it's hard to wrap my head around what exactly it's going to be. I didn't...
Wait, that thing was kickstarted?
Yeah, John, it's really surprising that, like, and I watched some of the Kickstarter like trailers from before. This game looks incredible. It's visually stunning. It appears to be some kind of a side-scrolling platform, maybe even a rhythm-based game.
Yeah, I haven't been able to figure out any... I didn't see gameplay, I don't think.
I think we did see gameplay.
Was that gameplay? Okay. Then I guess so. It had really trippy visuals, very awesome music. But then I don't know if we're going along to the music. I don't know if we're making the music. I don't understand if we're making all the bizarre shit happen.
There was a sequence where he was jumping and strumming guitar and platforms were appearing underneath him, which looked like a game mechanic to me. You appear to be a guy
acid
who's...
tripping just the whole time.
That's what I felt like. I felt like someone put something in my sodas.
A guy who's like uncle or something was like a Bob Dylan type figure.
Yeah.
And now you're trying to like find your own destiny as a musician, something like that. Okay. And it turns into a metaphysical journey.
Or you're trying to get to your own show.
It looks
something's happening.
It looks like it's a weird platformer.
I mean, it is definitely those two things, weird and a platformer. Yes.
So that's it. I don't know. It looked crazy. It looked awesome. It looked very trippy. I don't own an Xbox, so. You know, it's wasted on me.
Well, maybe it was kickstarted, so it's probably a multi-platform release. Unless
it just said that it's going to be console launch exclusive.
Yeah,
so it's going to come out on Xbox first.
Yeah.
But then who knows?
And so also Xbox related and indie game related, Cuphead is finally coming out after
three fucking years.
Yeah.
They showed that out, was it 3 years ago?
Yeah, at this point.
It feels like it was 10.
Well, let me put it this way. You know, we made a tradition of going to E3 until we decided, hey, this is too expensive and pointless to keep doing this.
And then, like, waiting in lines for a year.
Yeah. We get just as much information almost watching at home. Then, I mean.
And it looked like it was almost done when they showed it off the first time.
Yeah. So I don't know what's been going on, but like, back when we used to go to E3, Cuphead was debuted, and now it's finally coming out in September.
That's wow. Like. So fucking long ago.
I even remember hearing people talk about how hard it is to play. Like I feel like they had a gameplay demo.
Oh yeah, it was available on the floor theory. To play recently.
There,
yeah.
Is there an alternate reality where Cuphead's been out for a while?
Yes. Quantum physics says yes.
I mean, the good thing about Cuphead being taking so long is that, you know, graphically speaking, it's not
going to
degrade.
I was going to ask,
it's going to be fine.
Have they made the graphics better in the millennia that it's been in development?
I mean, there's nothing to improve. It's already hyper stylized. So I guess, you know, maybe it was going to be 1080 and now it's in 4K. Whatever, you know.
Yeah.
8K, a million K.
All the Ks.
Yeah.
Circle K.
What about, is anybody going to play the Warhammer 2?
Okay. I have questions about that.
Yeah.
So this is the first time in forever that anyone has shown me anything pertaining to a Warhammer that didn't end in a K. It's not 40K.
Right?
It's just regular Warhammer. I'd forgotten it even existed.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's coming out. It doesn't. All right. So at first I was super impressed by the trailer when they were flying, basically.
It's a bunch of lizards.
God damn lizard man.
Exactly. Lizards on flying things, pterodactyls,
so,
you know.
So you're saying cloud people that are also lizards.
Yes.
They got them flying lizards in that their trailer. And you know what? They don't even cover it up. They keep saying that they are, in fact, lizard men.
They just
but
say
did
it.
You see the part where that guy, that big old lizard, was sitting on his fat freaking lizard chair, and he was
beneath
talking,
the beneath the capital of the United States,
was not moving.
Yes, yes, I did see lizard telepathy. Ooh, they're coming for you, getting in your minds through your television sets and your video game consoles. Lizard man, Warhammer.
Tell you what, we got to watch out for them there ventriloquisms. that we see.
Never trust a
they
puppet.
Might all
Never.
Be lizard people.
So what kind of game is this even? I have no clue.
It looked like an RTS.
Yeah,
I'm assuming it's an RTS, but like literally, did they show any gameplay?
No.
I don't think they did.
They just showed relatively kind of outdated graphics of
Thank
goddamn
you.
Lizard.
I was like, they didn't even show the gameplay, which the gameplay is when it's gonna go from like good graphics to whatever graphics you're really gonna play with. The
RTS, it's hard to even really care in a lot of ways. You know?
Everything's so tiny.
Yeah, they always pull back so far.
There's a new Age of Empires coming out in 4K. Point in case.
What? Why?
Because 4K!
The more recent Warhammer 40K game that has been shown off, I don't know, I doubt it's out yet, but like it looks amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, the first-person shooter one?
Yeah.
Forget Warhammer, though. Did you see that Crackdown 3 trailer with Terry Crews screaming at you?
No, I did
not.
Oh, my God.
That brought me straight back to, like, the old school video game advertisements.
Yeah.
Like, please
tell. He's
please
just yelling at you. Like, what?
Yeah, it's, I mean, the original Crackdown games, I didn't play them, but they looked like they were just ridiculous, sort of like Prototype or Infamous, where you just kind of have, like, ridiculous powers and you're unleashed into a city. Saints Row 4 also similar sort of situation, but you're just like this super cop or something, and the trailer, most of it is just Terry Crews yelling at you about having big guns and stuff, and then they show some gameplay at the end, but the gameplay looks pretty fun, and anything where Terry Crews yells at you is always great.
I'll have to check that one out. I think I'll enjoy that. I like it when he yells at me.
One of the biggest announcements this year, at least so far anyway, is perhaps the last game to have that sort of legendary unreleased status like The Last Guardian, and this is Beyond Good and Evil 2, the sequel to Ubisoft's 2003 game that was a really fun, really cool action platformer that everybody liked, that like 2008 or something had a second game announced. There's been a teaser trailer. There's been some gameplay footage, and they dropped an announcement today that it's actually happening, that was what amounts to basically a short film with some limited information about what it is that basically like showcases nothing that was shown before, almost implying that it's all been scrapped or shrouded in mystery. Who knows? This trailer, I don't care what your relationship is with Beyond Good and Evil. I don't care what your relationship is with Ubisoft. You should watch this trailer. It's amazing. It's like the Fifth Element with animal people.
Mm. That's what I was going to say. Exactly that. Like, what? Exactly that.
Like, some animal people and humans.
And you said it's going to be multi-platform?
I don't know. No. But it's Ubisoft, so likely.
Okay.
They don't really have allegiances.
Yeah.
And we didn't see any gameplay at all, did we?
We did not. But we did see what the director has implied is basically a showcase of things that that you could expect. In this trailer, you see a pig crime boss having a deal with a monkey man with a strange metal hand. And
pig crime boss, monkey man, have a kerfluffle.
And the monkey guy slips him a Mickey. Well, no, he doesn't really slip him a Mickey. He gives the pig guy a thing that the pig guy wants. Pig guy gives him a disc that the monkey guy wants. And then turns out the thing he gives the pig guy is fake. So monkey dude escapes through a skylight because his metal hand, it's actually a thing that springs off of him like a grappling hook. And he's got a regular hand underneath it. He pops up. He jumps all around up in the buildings like
and
you
then
would.
It's Fifth Element everywhere.
And then you have then flying cars, chase, cute girl on a motorcycle, blowing
huge
things
city.
Up, police things flying around, explosions. And apparently this is representative of the cooperative gameplay that will be in the game, hypothetically. Ubisoft is, of course, champions of shit that doesn't actually happen when they put out a game.
Yeah.
I read an article trying to like talk about some of this stuff, and honest to God, it was like, oh yeah, we wanted to do like some of this crazy shit, like the Mass Effect shit that they were trying to do, and them No Man's Sky stuff that they were trying to do, but you know, we're going to do it. And I'm like, oh my god, no, don't, you're never going to finish. Like,
yeah, apparently, like, later on you see a spaceship just basically like fly up to the cloud layer and then boom, zip off. According to the director, that's part of the gameplay too. You will travel other planets. It will be seamless. There's no load time. I'm like, whoa, wow. Dude, you're talking a big game here. This is a beautiful short film, and if it was just a straight-up movie, I'd watch it. I'm not even sure if I want a game at this point. I just want to see more of what you just made.
Right.
Yeah, but, like, literally, just make the goddamn movie.
Please and thank you.
It's phenomenal. You should check it out. I hope the game is good. Really, this will be a truly crippling failure for Ubisoft if they fuck this up after all this time. They've, you know, I mean, they're a huge company. They'll bounce
and
back.
And they were
from
talking
it,
about doing like insane levels of development on all the worlds, all the shit. Like, it sounded just like one of those crazy projects where the, you know, tax guys are going to come and be like, "Hey, when's this thing going to hit? Come on, guys! Like, what are you doing?" And then it's like, "Okay, well, we're all going to get fired if we don't pull our shit out of our ass."
It's taken so long that they might as well have all that shit, but I don't believe it. But I mean, I want to believe. So
I want to believe
it looks great. There's one troubling thing though, which when I was talking to Brandon about this, he was very miffed about. It's a prequel, so they say. It takes place before the main character from Beyond Good and Evil was born, and yet it's still called Beyond Good and Evil 2. It's
awesome.
Some real Proto Man shit there.
That's weird.
So I think my theory is they're not going to call it Beyond
Time
Good and
Travel.
Evil 2 if she's not in it, if it doesn't continue the story, if it doesn't, I mean, because the main characters from the prior game were major elements of all the promotional materials leading up to this point. It seems weird that they would bother to give this game a sequel title for something that hasn't had a game in over a decade. They would try to rebrand if they wanted to tell a totally new story, but it's Beyond Good and Evil 2. So I think you're going to play a story that eventually flashes forward in time, and all of a sudden you're playing with the characters you know and love. Hmm. That's my theory.
Okay.
Possibly.
Rampant speculation.
It is rampant speculation, yes. And as far as another game, it looks great, but worth cocking an eyebrow at, Spider-Man.
That looked crazy. The trailer, or at least the game, I guess it was gameplay. Wasn't really a trailer. They just showed us a swath of gameplay, and it looked great. Like, everything about it was pretty amazing, even though I don't understand at some points how they were controlling the character. Like, everything was way too fluid and looked too awesome.
Yeah, it's,
well,
like,
what was weird is it looked like they had actually combined a couple of different like play styles. There was like the Arkham kind of like fighting and stalking going on, but then they also had almost a Heavy Rain style like interaction timing. I guess there's a lot of games actually that use that now.
Well, QuickTime events, yeah.
Yeah, QuickTime events. So, yeah,
which,
but Spider-Man.
Which is, QuickTime events are a popular thing to hate on these days because they became such a buzzword and concept in gaming development that there was just a lot of it, and that is problematic for people. I don't actually see any genuine problem with QuickTime events. Maybe we can move away from them, but for the time being, if you want to truly do something awesome in a game, as far as like combining...
That's my problem, though. It's like you're... This game looks like it's not on rails at all, and then all of a sudden with the QuickTime events, you know that there is rails, and it's like pass or fail, you know, out of nowhere.
Yeah, Boar and I, we're watching it together, and we've got a lot of questions. Like, oh my god, that thing that happened was so cool. Okay, so, but now you're moving through a building, and this can't this has to be scripted because you can't, all the buildings in New York can't possibly...
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I thought the same damn thing. I was like, well, clearly, I mean, what if I didn't go in there? And it's like, well, I guess I went in there then. So how often is it taking control away from the player?
It seemed like pretty often.
Yeah.
From what they showed us.
All the time when you're chasing him around the city.
Yeah, so it's hard to tell, but it does look, regardless, I don't need everything to be like Skyrim full world exploration, you know? Like,
I need everything to be Skyrim full world.
Well, I mean, some games are like that and some aren't. You know, for example, like Breath of the Wild is so open-ended, there's no necessarily right way to solve a puzzle, and that's a beautiful thing. They designed it for that. The Spider-Man game, it's a little bit more narrative driven. You'll get the thrill of, hey, I did something correctly, and hey, I can interpret this this set piece environment in how I want to, you know, handle the situation with all these goons. But you know, it's still cool as hell. It's an original Spider-Man story in its own version of the comics universe. Spider-Man has a unique costume for it, which is very cool looking. And
I was weirded out by his eyes working.
Well, that's actually the way Spider-Man's eyes work is actually very similar to how they work in the present Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Is there any rational reason for how that is?
No, because it's cool.
Yeah, okay. I was just making sure.
Magnets.
But
how do they work?
I was thrilled to see a Spider-Man character who I don't believe has been... Granted, I haven't watched the recent Spider-Man cartoons, but I believe this character hasn't appeared in any piece of Spider-Man media outside of the comic books. Creation of Dan Slott, who's now like got to be going for like one of... I mean, he's one of the most prolific Spider-Man authors of all time, if not the... he's been writing Spider-Man for years, doing an amazing job. It's one of my favorite books to read. This character was one of his earliest creations for it, Mr. Negative, who's a... he's a gang
lord. He's really pessimistic, like, all the time. Yeah. He has the power of extreme pessimism. It's basically me in the form of a villain in Spider-Man's universe.
He's a extremely nice, charitable guy who works at a homeless shelter who is polarized without his knowledge and is not just visually... like polarized, so okay.
So Two-Face.
It's like yeah, he's like an alternate Two-Face. It's like a Asian a crime Two-Face. Lord you Marvel. Yeah, Marvel Two-Face. Why not? So, but he's great. I thought it was really cool. I've always wondered. Mr. Negative has a very specific way that he's drawn of like inverting a color palette, and I've always wondered how that would look in another medium. Mm-hmm. And it looks and really cool. Know. It turns out,
yeah.
All right, well, if there's certainly going to be more E3 stuff to talk about, and we'll certainly talk about all of that. Taking us out is something fresh and new from Freeze Pop. Last year, they had a very successful Kickstarter, and they are in the midst of working on their new album still. This is a track that they released recently. It's called Uncanny Valley.
I'm traveling through the valley. I see you on the other side. Nowhere to hide. I'm trying my best to reach you. Alone across the great divide. So magnified. Naturally, and they sparkle bright, but they're not quite right.
Your
eyes, they look through me and cannot conceal that they aren't real. Your eyes, a hyperbole with your perfect sight in the dead of night. Those eyes, artificially, your Achilles heel, that they're so unreal. They sparkle bright, completely right. Your eyes are the way they look at me, cannot conceal the way you feel.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.